The Earth spins amongst the stars in space. Universal, an MCA company. Black and white stills of New York in the 1940s and 50s. Steven Spielberg presents a Matthew Robbins film. A smiling young couple, Faye and Frank, stand in front of a raised section of the subway. Batteries not included. Frank wears naval uniform. Hume Cronin. Faye pictured at a window. Jessica Tandy. The family sit together. Frank McRae, Elizabeth Pienaar. People drink in a bar. Frank pictured walking along a New York street. Michael Carmine. Faye and Frank pictured with a baby. Dennis Boutsakaris. Frank teaches the youngster to swim. The pair are pictured gardening and by their car. Tom Aldridge, Jane Hoffman, John DeSanti. The family stand outside their business, Riley's Cafe. John Pankow, McIntyre Dixon, Michael Green, Doris Bellack, Wendy Schall, James LaGrosse, Jose Santana. The changing facade of Riley's Cafe as the photos move into the 60s. Edited by Cynthia Scheider. In the present, the Riley's Cafe building is the last building left standing on the street. All the others have been demolished. Music composed by James Horner. The picture changes from black and white to colour. Bulldozers carry out demolition work on the buildings near Riley's Cafe. A structure collapses. Production designer Ted Howarth. A mechanical grabber scoops up debris. Director of Photography John McPherson, ASC. Now an old lady, Faye, walks past the demolition work. She pulls the frame of a shopping cart behind her and carries a shopping bag. She wears a bright floral print dress and puffs on a cigarette in a holder. Executive producers, Steven Spielberg, Kathleen Kennedy, Frank Marshall. Screenplay by Brad Bird and Matthew Robbins and Brent Maddock and S.S. Wilson. Story by Mick Garris. Faye wanders past a digger coming the other way. She arrives at a building that has nearly been entirely demolished. Produced by Ronald L. Schwary. Faye wanders into the ruins of the building and looks around uncertainly from behind dark glasses. A stretch limo drives onto the building site where diggers are piling up rubbish. Directed by Matthew Robbins. The only building still standing is the Riley's Cafe building. A lorry pulls up close to it, and workmen unload a hoarding advertising Lacey Plaza.
All right. Pick it up. Whoa. Look out. Let's come to
Inside the cafe, the decor is locked in the 1950s. Old pictures adorn the walls and a Wurlitzer jukebox sits silently in the corner. The tables and counter are deserted. 60-something Muriel hurries into the cafe. She picks something up off the floor.
I know it. She's not here. Frank! Sydney!
I'll try the basement.
Don't panic. She's around here somewhere. Hey! Come on out!
The building begins to shake. Frank lifts the blind over the window and sees a digger rumbling towards the place. He dashes outside and yells at the driver.
Hey! Did you ever hear of private property?
Just coming for a hamburger, Pop.
Ah, you got a lot of nerve. Get your food somewhere else.
Who's that? Take off that hat so I get a look at you.
Here she is. Faye, for the love of Mike, where you been?
You scared the living daylights out of me.
I did the marketing. Somebody's got to do the marketing.
Faye goes inside. Muriel goes after her. Frank turns to the driver.
Okay, what are you looking at?
Nothing, Pop. Nothing.
Was that Bobby? I think it was Bobby.
No, dear. It wasn't Bobby. It was just a man. Now, how about I fix your breakfast?
I don't smell no bacon on. Is it Sunday? Monday and Tuesday don't smell at all because cream of wheat is instant. And it ain't Thursday. I can smell Thursday all the way back to Wednesday when people put their garbage out. Well, if it's Sunday, we gotta walk in the park. Sure. Hey, Sid. Why don't you kids come for a walk with us?
Yeah. Sure, Faye. That sounds great.
A pregnant young woman wearing a blue dress, Marissa, carries a bag of groceries over the building site. She approaches some men hanging around outside the cafe. She tries to get past them to enter the building.
Hola, mami. Look, smell like money? 'Cause it is.
She steps inside, passing a large black guy, Harry, who's trying to repair the tiled floor. The Hispanic guy, Carlos, keeps hassling Marissa.
Oh, he didn't write. Take it from me, I know about this stuff. He ain't coming back.
This is the letter you've been waiting for.
He chases her upstairs.
Come on, you'll let me reach later. Hey, take it. What's wrong with you? Press cash money.
She doesn't believe me.
You can move to Brooklyn.
She tries to close her apartment door on him, and a statue of the Virgin Mary gets broken.
Yeah. Buy yourself a new saint. You can afford it now.
He tosses an envelope at her. She shuts the door in his face. Carlos goes and knocks on another door.
Room service!
He tries to open the door.
It's moving day, Picasso!
He tosses an envelope inside. It's immediately shoved back under the door. Carlos looks at his henchman.
Yo, B, don't you even want to count it? They're paying you to move out.
He shoves the envelope under the door and it slid straight back. One of the henchmen breaks a hole in the door.
Hey, doll, he's not home. How about you move in with me? This place here, it's falling apart.
No!
He grabs her leg. She whacks his hand with a canvas and he retreats. Carlos and his henchmen go down into the basement and knock on Harry's door.
Hey, B! Hey, B! It's us! The knock-knock boys!
They let themselves in.
Let's punch it out again, champ! Round two!
One of the henchmen turns the TV off and points out a pair of feet sticking out from under a curtain.
How's the face, man? You ready for a rematch? Yesterday, we got rough. Today, we got money. Tomorrow, you ain't gone.
Carlos swings a baseball bat, breaking a jar of floor tiles Harry is holding. Carlos knocks some stuff off a shelf.
There. Now you got less to move. And here's your prize money.
He tosses down an envelope. Harry looks out from behind the curtain as they go. In the cafe, Faye eats a piece of toast and tries to work a bubblegum machine.
Where's the boys? I don't hear them playing.
Bobby! Donald! Donald's all grown up, Faye. He has two kids of his own now. I'm a grandmother, remember?
Oh.
Now sit down and finish your coffee.
Where's my Bobby?
Get out of my face, you punks!
Mr. Riley, it's your lucky day. You too, Pops. Social Security, that's me. Now, you move out. You go to Miami. You sit in the sun, listen to Bing Crosby, play checkers, bingo.
We don't want any trouble, Carlos.
Hallelujah!
Don't touch it!
Too late, man. She already took it.
You're an angel, Bobby. That's what you are.
I'm calling the cops.
Okay, time for your medicine.
Come here. Let Mama give you a pucker.
Never knew you had a mother. Buenos dias, senora.
Shut up, Benny. Now, you got the idea, right? Now, you take the money and you move out. Okay?
Get out of my way!
Oh, yes, but Frank, let the boys help. You never give him a chance. Bobby!
Stop calling me that.
Get out of here. And you, stay away from my wife and stay away from this building. You tell Lacey his money stinks, you understand?
You kill my head, man. Money's not a good reason to move, okay? Here's a good reason.
Faye grins and breaks a cup.
That's right, abuela. Break it up.
Come on,
Frank.
We'll talk about it later.
Frank!
The punks! Take your hands off of me!
The henchmen take Frank outside and throw him on the ground. Marissa clears up in her apartment. Harry turns his TV up to drown out the noise.
Fully guaranteed. Buying stores everywhere. Batteries not included.
Lazy!
Frank runs up to the stretch limo.
Lazy, you son of a bitch! You're not getting away with it! Lazy, open up and face me like a man! You're not throwing me out!
The limo's window opens.
You really think that he'd come down here? Take the money, Mr. Riley. It's our last offer.
The exec closes the limo's window and it drives on, leaving a bewildered Frank staring after it. Later, he complains to some police officers.
It's my place. This is all I got. I grew up here, for God's sake.
What do you want us to do, Mr. Riley?
Arrest him. Send him up the river for life. I'm not scared. I'll testify.
You know what'll happen. They'll have 18 witnesses saying they were somewhere else. When they get out, they'll come after you again.
Then patrol the neighborhood, for crying out loud.
The cop looks around.
What neighborhood?
The cops drive off as a cab pulls up. A younger bearded man, Mason Baylor, leans out of the cab.
What the hell happened?
Mind your own business.
Wait a minute. I live here. Upstairs?
Oh, yeah, I see you. Right? You're in Moskowitz's old place.
Mr. Baylor, do you honestly think I could recommend this building for historic preservation?
Mrs. Thompson, really, it was in much better shape this morning.
I doubt that.
Yeah, look at the moldings. Look at the cornice. That's terracotta. Oh, you don't like ornament. All right, well, just step back here and look at those proportions. It's got style. It's got dignity.
There's nothing left here to preserve.
Well, this one's still here, and it can be saved. It can be restored.
We do have a minimum standard, that the structure is intact and livable. You don't even have that.
People live here.
Not for long.
Mrs. Thompson gets back in the cab. In the cafe, Frank is sweeping up the damage Carlos and his cronies left behind. He picks up a chair and pauses, looking at something on the floor. He picks up a broken picture frame. Frank tosses his broom down and stares at the photographs in the frame. Mason talks with his girlfriend in their apartment.
All right, look, you're so nervous. I'll fix the door.
It's not the door, Mason. It's you. You and your fascination with this place.
What? Well, I like it here.
Of course you do. It's old and depressing.
It's reality.
This is the 80s, Mason. Nobody likes reality anymore. Why don't you admit it? It's time to quit.
Oh, well, thank you very much. How do you know that?
You said so yourself. You said that you were going nowhere. You could do analytics deconstruction, neo-geo, hard edge. But no, you've got to be the Andrew Wyeth of the East Village. Why don't you go back to your father and sell vans or RECVs or whatever they're called?
RVs.
But for God's sake, get out of here. And to think that I've been telling my friends that it's so cool living with an artist. You never once asked to paint me nude.
The girlfriend marches off with her bags. Mason slams the door of his apartment and locks it. A removal truck pulls up outside the cafe. Carlos and his henchmen run up behind it. The removal men carry a carpet past Frank. Another man passes him with a chair. Frank sees Sid coming out of his room carrying two suitcases.
It's okay, Frank. She's here. She's been helping.
Give it to me.
I called Donald. He made the arrangements.
For what? A funeral?
We're going to Jersey. It's a home for senior citizens.
You took their money.
Sid goes.
You took that punk's money.
There's cold cereal in here and a Libby's canned fruit, but she won't eat the cherries. And beans. She just loves beans.
Oh, Frank, where's our bags? It's the love boat to Cuba, shuffleboard, and pineapples filled with rum. You know what they do? They put little paper umbrellas sticking out the top. So when it rains, it don't thin out the liquor.
And here's her Enderol, four times a day, after meals and at bedtime, and her Hydro-Diuril, twice a day, and don't forget.
Okay, I got it. I won't forget, okay.
Oh, Frank. Frank, we're tired. It's not a home anymore.
Say goodbye for us, will you?
Hell, she won't even know you're gone.
They look at Faye dancing around a dining table in the next room. She picks a piece of fruit up out of a fruit bowl. That night, Harry is working in the hall of the building, fixing the floor tiles. He puts his tool down, sits back, and heaves a weary sigh. In his apartment, Frank picks up a medicine bottle and looks at it.
Come on out, Faye. Let's do this.
Where's Muriel?
It smells like cherry cordial, this stuff.
Muriel!
I'm Muriel now. I'm coming in, Faye.
Hold it, I ain't dressed. Get Frank! Frank!
Yeah?
Who's that?
It's Frank. I'm Frank now.
Okay.
He steps into the bathroom and finds her hiding behind the shower curtain. She steps out in her nightdress.
Put on the red record.
We haven't got a red record.
Muriel has a red record. Makes the pills go down.
Sure.
He tips some medicine into a spoon and spills some.
Say,
No. Muriel and I say frog. Frog.
Okay. Frog.
Wow.
She takes the medicine and goes and checks her appearance in a mirror. She turns back to Frank and kisses him on the lips. She heads off and Frank stares after her. In her room, Marissa looks at a framed photo of a young man. She jumps as a painting crashes down the fire escape outside her window. It's followed by others. She opens her window and watches as the paintings crash to the ground. On the floor above, Mason tosses the paintings out of the window. Eventually, he gives up. Marissa looks down at the canvases strewn on the ground. Faye opens her apartment window and looks out. She turns back to Frank.
I'm going to clean up that cafe, Frank. I'm going to clean it up right now.
He takes her hand.
Oh. Well, maybe first thing in the morning. You don't have to worry about a thing. Okay?
Okay.
She gets into bed. He sits down beside her. She pulls her mouth up into a smile.
Just around the corner, there's a rainbow in the sky. So,
Let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie.
He struggles to contain his emotions and switches the light off.
Did we miss the sunset?
He nods. She lies back in bed. In the kitchen, Frank washes up. He angrily hurls down a vase. He kicks over a chair, then manages to get his temper under control. He sits down at the kitchen table and looks briefly at some dollar bills lying on it, and at a retirement home brochure. He tosses his tea towel aside and puts down the brochure before looking up in the air.
Please, somebody, help us.
A UFO about a foot across hovers outside her open bedroom window. It has two lights mounted on the front of it like a pair of glowing eyes and smaller red outrigger lights. The UFO glides in through the open window and makes its way over to the bed. It flies low over the bed. Faye rolls over in her sleep. The UFO hovers just in front of her face, then drifts away across the bedroom. It goes into the living room and approaches Frank, who's asleep in a chair. It hovers in front of his face. As Frank exhales, his breath blows the UFO away. It comes back again, then flies away through the apartment. It flies past the dining table and shines a light on a candlestick. The UFO makes its way into the kitchen. As it hovers, lights flash around on its underside. It flies over to a worktop and looks at a plug socket on the wall. The UFO goes to a window and its headlights flash up into the sky. A second, slightly smaller UFO flies down out of the clouds and comes over to the window. The first UFO has to push the sash window up so that the second UFO can get in. The second UFO flies erratically into the kitchen. It goes over to the worktop and crash lands. A panel opens in the back of it and a probe extends from it on a mechanical arm. It inserts the probe into the plug socket and charges itself up. The light by Frank's chair flickers, but he slumbers on. The first UFO flies out of a wardrobe with a nightdress draped over it, making it look a bit like a floating ghost. It passes over Faye's bed and she wakes up. She sits up in bed and looks around. In the kitchen, the second UFO finishes charging up and takes off. It flies with renewed energy. It goes over to the first UFO, which drops the nightdress. The UFOs fly back through the apartment. They hover over a ripped-up photo in its broken frame. In the bedroom, Faye closes the wardrobe door. and hearing noises, looks around. She goes into the living room where Frank is still slumbering in his chair. She looks around and finds the ripped up photograph and its broken frame have been restored to as new condition. She puts it on the mantelpiece. Frank slumbers on in his chair. Faye goes into the kitchen and turns the light on. She finds the nightdress on the floor and picks it up. She finds the vase that Frank broke, now restored and sitting on the table. She picks it up and puts it away in a cupboard. Hearing a noise, she turns around and sees the toaster disappearing out of the door. It's being pulled along by its flex. She steps out into the hall of the apartment block and looks up the stairs. She watches as the toaster bounces up the steps. Clutching a torch and a broom, Faye makes her way up the stairs. She emerges onto the roof of the apartment and sees the toaster being dragged into a hut up there. Shining the torch in front of her, she makes her way towards the hut. She shines the torch beam over the hut, then opens the door. It's very dark inside. She bends down and grabs hold of the end of the toaster's flex and pulls it out of the shadows towards her. The second UFO is perched on top of it. As it gets closer, the second UFO lights up and takes off. The first UFO swoops in front of it. The next day, construction and demolition work continues around the Riley's Cafe building. In their apartment, Frank and Faye are having breakfast. Faye spins a bowl on her finger in a way reminiscent of the UFOs.
Where's your goddamn toaster?
Faye throws the bowl and looks disappointed when it crashes to the floor. Frank regards her with concern, then goes and picks up the bowl. Faye picks up another bowl and throws that, just missing Frank. Later, Frank makes a phone call. He has the brochure for Island Manor Retirement Home in front of him. He looks over at Faye tossing crockery in the kitchen. He looks up and notices the restored photograph and frame on the mantelpiece.
Good morning, Island Manor. Can I help you? Hello? Hello?
Faye? Faye, what is this?
He goes into the kitchen, clutching the photograph, and finds Faye gone and the door to the hall open. In his apartment, Harry finds the floor tiles from his jar have been arranged on the floor in a UFO shape. He looks at his empty jar. Mason wakes up in his bedroom and looks around. He looks out of the window and sees a dust cart driving away.
Come on, Tommy, slow down!
Oh, no.
Yo! Over, wait a minute, those are my pictures! Wait, where are you going? Wait, would you stop? Stop! Just wait!
Today, the collecting covers are one day.
Mason dashes down the stairs in his apartment, then hurries out of the door into the hall. He stops and reopens the door. Kneeling in front of it, he examines the door, which no longer has the hole Carlos's henchman made. Marissa steps into the hall holding the repaired statue of the Virgin Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
That's all right, it's me. 3B.
Someone was in my room.
Yeah, me too. I think we got elves. Morning.
Hi. Who are you?
3C.
Oh, yeah, the whole grandy place. Did either of you see my...
Frank goes up on the roof.
Oh, here, come on. Let me get a nice big bolt for you. Are you tired and nailed? Here. What's that? Paper clips. Come on, come on. No, don't move.
Come on, babe.
Time to go back downstairs.
I'm feeding them. They like this stuff.
She sprinkles nuts and bolts.
Our son kept birds. You know, pigeons.
Marissa and Mason are there.
Please, Faye, don't do this. Not now, okay?
That's my frying pan. Come on, come on.
What?
Oh, nothing.
No, go ahead, tell him.
No, nothing, really.
That's
it's
your frying
not important.
Pan, and that's my coffee pot.
Frank looks in the shed, then turns back to Faye.
No more pigeons, hon. It's time to stop. I said stop that.
Frank!
My God, Faye. You went into these people's apartments?
Not me, them. The little guys.
Faye, I need you to be with me now. I need you to be here.
I'm here, Papa. I'm with you.
Now, what else did you take?
I told you nothing. It's the little guy.
Oh, skip that. What about this? Where'd you get a new picture?
It's not new. It's fixed.
Fixed like new?
They did a good job.
Who did?
I ain't saying.
God damn it, Faye. It's okay. It's all right. No harm done.
It could be giant rats.
Yeah, from Brooklyn, you know.
Mason steps in the shed. Bright lights flash, and he comes flying out.
That was no rat.
What was it?
Who in his right mind stands in a puddle and sticks a fork in a wall socket? Come on, get back. All of you. Come on, shoot, 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 shoot. Yeah, come on now. Wait there, wait there.
Faye takes Frank's pocket watch as Harry appears on the roof.
Here. They're shy.
She puts the pocket watch on the windowsill of the shed and smashes it with a flower pot. Frank gawps. The two UFOs come out of the shed and quickly pass back and forth over the watch, shining blue beams of light onto it. They rapidly restore the watch to its original condition. Everyone watches in amazement. The UFOs disappear back into the shed. Faye smiles a superior smile at the others. Downstairs, they go into the cafe and find that the place has been completely restored by the UFOs to pristine condition. Frank looks around in amazement. Faye marches past him with a swing in her step. Frank looks at the stools lining the serving counter. He picks up a sugar pot and stares at it.
They're the fixers. They like to fix things. They have that knack. Hey, dance me around, Papa. Oh, come on, you kids. Put a little Fred Astaire into it.
Faye pushes Mason over to Marissa. They watch as Faye and Frank dance delightedly around the cafe. The black stretch limo pulls up outside and the executive winds the window down. He sees Frank and Faye dancing inside their restored cafe. The executive dials a number on his cell phone. Harry goes down into the basement and looks cautiously around. One of the UFOs appears behind him carrying a bucket. He ducks as it flies past him. He smiles as it disappears down the corridor. In Frank's apartment, Mason is on the phone.
No, they're not toys. You can't buy these things at Macy's. I tried the army. They told me to call you.
No, are you missing anything in the way of experimental aircraft?
Not a word. Not even in the post.
Yeah, well, they're robots, right? They're auto gyros. They're smart bombs. They're microchip hovercraft.
They're spaceships. You can tell just by looking at them.
Spaceships?
Sure. From a very small planet. Very small.
Carlos stands amongst the rubble of the building site, clutching a baseball bat. He makes his way through the ruins of a building and runs past a bulldozer. He hurries over the rubble and runs up to Riley's cafe. He takes his shades off and looks through the window. He's amazed to see the place restored to as new condition. He feels the pane of glass in the window, then makes the sign of the cross and goes. Frank, Mason, and Marissa.
Maybe this is all a dream.
Yeah, well, if this is a dream, which one of us is having it?
Frank nods.
Don't look at me. I stopped dreaming a long time ago.
They go out into the hall to investigate the strange noises. They see a bread bin bouncing about on the landing.
I'm going to talk to it.
You better be careful.
The bread bin rises into the air and Frank calls out to it. The bread bin descends a bit and opens. Inside it is the first of the two UFOs. Frank looks a little sheepish as he thinks what to say.
Welcome to America!
The UFO continues hovering.
Maybe you should try some Spanish on it.
Hablo español. Están perdidos.
It moves closer.
Don't hurt anybody, okay?
Faye appears. The UFO ascends.
Sit down, everybody. Don't let it get cold. I make candy omelets.
That looks delicious, Mrs. Riley.
The second UFO is charging itself up.
Look, it's plugged itself in.
Frank walks over to it and points at the socket on the wall.
Is that why you're here?
The UFO detaches itself from the socket and whizzes around the kitchen, making everybody duck. It disappears out of the door into the hall.
Okay, that's it. I'm gonna call the cops. I'm gonna make them come.
Carlos.
I heard that. You need cops, Picasso? Come on, call a cop.
Bobby.
Hey, lady, my name's not Bobby.
Oh, excuse me. Robert.
Mr. B.
Shut up. Hey, I saw downstairs. Who's been cleaning up after me? Huh? Who?
A flying saucepan hits him.
Whoever threw that is ruined, man. Hospitalized.
He turns around and sees Harry on the stairs and the hovering saucepan. The saucepan disappears up the stairwell. Carlos turns around and sees a barrel rolling towards him. He watches fearfully as his baseball bat is pulled into the barrel. It then rolls away up the stairs.
What the hell is this?
Everyone shrugs. Carlos hurries up the stairs and goes out onto the roof. He makes his way over to the shed on the rooftop.
Whoever's in there, you got big trouble.
He hits the shed and the shed door creaks open. He walks over to it and looks inside.
Carlos. Actually, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Carlos grabs hold of his baseball bat. Something pulls on the other end of it and he's yanked into the shed. Bright lights flash from within the shed as the residents look on. Carlos walks stiffly out of the shed, his tracksuit in tatters and his smouldering hair standing on end. He walks over to Frank. He races down the stairs inside the apartment block. The residents watch from the roof as he runs away across the building site. With a magnifying glass and pliers.
Okay, easy now, little guy. That's right. I just want to check for that label that says Made in the USA.
Right? Oh, no, don't! You queer our luck. That is the golden goose.
He looks through the magnifying glass and sees thousands of little specks of light moving around inside the machine. It extends a mechanical hand which swats the magnifying glass away. The hand breaks off.
If you're right.
Mason picks the hand up.
We apologize. He didn't mean to pry. He was just being scientific.
GE. This is GE. This is... was my coffee pot.
Looks like it's been percolated.
Who are they, Frank? What is so special about our roof?
Maybe it was me.
You, what do you mean you?
Me and Faye. We needed help.
You think that they're here because of you?
The quickest way to end a miracle is to ask it why it is or what it wants.
Frank stares at the UFO, which turns around. Marissa is looking through Faye's photo album.
What is your name, dear?
Marissa?
Marissa. Boy, my memory. It's like the Navy. Coming and going, coming and going. Ah, here's Bobby's little jammies. I bet there's even a few diapers in here.
How old is your son, Mrs. Riley?
Bobby? Oh, let me see. He just had a birthday. Well, I gotta think. He's got his father's ears. He and Frank don't get along so good. Frank's got a terrible temper, you know.
Marissa stares at her and Faye smiles.
You're gonna love being a mother.
Faye, come here, quick!
Frank, Marissa, Faye and Harry join Mason up on the roof where the two UFOs are chasing each other around. The residents watch as the UFOs dive down a chimney stack and disappear. Mason walks cautiously towards the stack. The UFOs reappear out of another stack in a plume of smoke. They lock together in the air and dip down into a recess, then rise back out of it. The residents watch as the UFOs go in the shed, which levitates with light emanating from it.
What are they doing?
Can't you tell?
The shed settles back on the rooftop and the light dims. Faye walks over to the shed, which is smoking, and looks inside.
She's gonna get hungry.
Take it away!
The residents feed a power cable up the stairwell inside the building. They play it out across the rooftop towards the shed.
It's too short. Any more?
That's it?
Come on, Frank, they're starving.
Harry brings some fairy lights.
Well, what do you know? Thanks, Harry. I saw you fight. Harry Noble, the human locomotive. Come on, Harry, say something. Talk to me.
Harry plugs the lights in.
Come on, Frank, get on with it.
Tremendous writing. Tremendous. Never says a word. Just watches TV. Loves the commercials.
To the UFOs.
It's all we got.
The first UFO approaches.
Take it. It's okay, we're neighbors.
The first UFO backs away.
Doesn't trust us, huh?
Harry takes the fairy lights from Frank and cautiously approaches the UFO with the lights held out in front of him. The first UFO floats over to him. It hovers for a few moments, then takes the lights from him. Harry plays out the cable for it.
Harry Noble. I used to bet on him. He had a hell of a ride. You should have seen him.
Harry grins as he plays out the lighting flex. The next morning, construction work continues around the building. Carlos is in another derelict building overlooking the Riley's Cafe building. He studies the rooftop through binoculars. One of his henchmen creeps up behind him, clutching a saucepan.
Look out, flying butt, ghost in the garbage.
Shut up, Benny.
Mama's whole kitchen coming to get you.
Shut up, man.
He shoves Benny through a partition wall.
We got plans for those people. And you know what? Those people are making plans on their own. They got something hooked up. Man, they're getting organized. And look at us. Somebody's helping them. Somebody's bringing them together.
Yo, Carlos, I see someone. Give me that.
Carlos grabs the binoculars and sees Faye on the rooftop looking at him through her binoculars. She grins and waves.
Wave to your mother.
Faye walks over to the shed and tosses some bolts from a tin can into it. She considers, then tosses in the can and Mason's drink can as well. She closes the shed door and turns to Marissa.
Oh, there you are. You're a lucky one. She's a darling girl.
She directs this at Mason, then goes. Hearing noises from the shed, Marissa and Mason look in through the window. They see the first UFO cut a piece out of the drinks can and pass it to the second. A conveyor belt carries the bit of metal up inside the second UFO.
Are you superstitious?
I'm getting there.
No. I'm not superstitious. But I was thinking about these things.
Yeah.
And why they came.
Uh-huh.
I know.
Mason tosses them a bit of metal.
Well, this is really going to sound silly, but it's like they were watching or listening.
And you think they're here because of you?
Yes.
Mason smiles to himself. They go back inside and walk downstairs.
So when's the baby due?
2 or 3 more months. I'm not sure.
You're not sure? What does the doctor say?
I haven't been to the doctor.
Well, that's crazy.
I feel fine.
You better take care of yourself.
My boyfriend's coming. He's going to take care of me.
Well, your boyfriend?
Hector. He's a musician, so he travels around a lot. Different places. So, what about you? No more girlfriend?
Yeah. She got smart.
Don't say that. She'll be back.
Oh, yeah? Why should she?
Because you're an artist.
Oh, God. An artist? Can I come in?
No.
Well, I make a very artistic cup of coffee.
No, I want to go to bed, to sleep. I have to take a nap.
Did I say something wrong?
No, it was nice talking to you. I'll see you tomorrow, okay?
Okay. Tomorrow.
All Mason's paintings are in her apartment.
Mason?
He turns back.
Maybe it was for you.
What?
Maybe they're here. Things because of you.
He smiles and nods a little dubiously. Marissa smiles and disappears back inside her apartment. Mason goes back to his flat. Carlos and his henchmen.
Give me back my camera, man.
OJ's phenomenal, man.
Mess it up, Benny. What's your big business? Severus Pay. Hey, you want to see a strange object? There you go, fool.
The henchmen desert him. One of them takes a Polaroid of him and tosses it at him as he goes. Carlos picks up the photograph and looks at it. He goes over to a window and looks out at the Riley's Cafe building. Lights flicker on all its floors. Mason comes out of his apartment and looks around.
Hey!
Marissa runs downstairs and bumps into Mason.
What's happening?
The electricity meters spin round wildly. Faye and Frank are on the roof with the UFOs.
Tonight. Already?
Uh-huh.
The fairy lights, which are hooked up to the second UFO, start to blow. Harry, Mason and Marissa join Faye and Frank. The second UFO powers down.
The fuses! She blew the fuses!
Frank, Mason and Harry hurry down into the basement.
There it is.
They go over to the fuse box and Frank pulls it open. He flicks a switch, cutting the power, and removes a fuse. He replaces it with a garden trowel. The circuit restored, he flicks the switch, turning the power back on. The lights come back up. Up on the roof, Faye and Marissa are looking into the shed. Bright bluish light flashes out of the interior. Mason, Frank and Harry return to the roof.
How's she doing?
It happened.
I'm a grandmother.
Two small UFOs about the size of a yogurt pot take faltering steps on bipedal mechanical legs. The parental UFOs hover close to them. The residents look on entranced.
It's twins!
This calls for cigars.
You got any cigars?
Cigars! This is history. Do you realize what's going on here? Machines that reproduce themselves. Spare parts with intelligence. Living hardware.
Mason excitedly kisses and hugs Marissa.
I don't know how you got here, or why you picked us, but we pledge allegiance to honor and protection. Sickness and in health, in rain and sleet, and the best of times and the worst of times, and so help us God.
What's that?
The second UFO begins to judder and smoke. Suddenly it drops a third mini UFO. The third offspring appears to be stillborn and sits unmoving where it fell. The second UFO tries nudging it, but to no avail. Harry speaks for the first time.
Batteries not included.
The sun rises over New York. Carlos is asleep in the derelict building overlooking the Riley's Cafe building. He wakes with a start. He grabs his binoculars and goes over to the window. He looks out at the rooftop and sees Harry creep out from behind the shed and go over to a skylight. The other residents gather around Faye, who's preparing to bury the stillborn UFO in a window box.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Faye, this has gone far enough. Come on, get up.
God accept it, Frank. It's over. Poor little soul.
What soul? What soul? Mrs. Riley, it's a chunk of metal. It's 9 ounces of canned goods, most of it from your apartment. Now we can really look inside.
Wait a minute. Last night you were so excited. Now they're chunks of metal?
You don't go out and bury the most advanced, self-perpetuating, machine-tooled, flying clockwork known to man. Mrs. Riley, please!
You know, that little, tiny, helpless, spare part. It got born and it never had a chance. It could happen to anyone. What's the matter with you?
What did I say? Marissa, wait a minute!
As the other residents go, Harry sprints out from cover and retrieves the stillborn UFO. Frank sees him.
Hey, what you doing?
Mason chases after Marissa.
Wait a minute!
I'm worried about the baby, okay? I can't help it, but don't let it bother you. It's not your problem.
Mason!
Harry, where are you going?
Stop him!
Oh, God, what is it?
Harry! Wait a minute!
Mason races after Harry.
Harry!
They run downstairs.
Harry, quick!
Harry disappears into his basement apartment.
Champ, what are you doing? Come on, open up! Come on, let's talk about this. You don't have to say anything. I'll do all the talking. What are you going to do with that thing?
Harry proceeds to disassemble his TV set. He takes all the parts over to a table where he has tools and the mini UFO. He takes the top off the UFO and delves inside it. In the cafe, Frank is busy behind the counter as he serves newfound customers, including two cops.
Smells good, Pop. You back in business?
What's it look like?
A record is loaded in the old-style Wurlitzer jukebox. The first UFO flicks a series of switches, turning on appliances in the cafe. A milkshake machine whirls away. A food mixer starts up and a hot dog grill comes on. The first UFO plugs in a neon Riley's Cafe sign, which lights up outside. Faye serves the customers as Frank cooks.
I'm sure gonna hate to crunch this place up.
Thank you, ma'am.
What's this, April Fool?
The burger has been pinned to the top of the bun. Faye hands it back to Frank, who looks at it.
He's working on it. It's his first day, okay? Hey, pal. Like this. Remember?
Frank shows the first UFO a picture of how a burger should look. The first UFO flips burgers on the grill. One of the junior UFOs walks across the hot plate, and the first UFO accidentally drops a slice of cheese on it. Frank plates up a burger.
Burger!
Faye takes it over to the customer who complained.
Now that's more like it.
His burger gets up and walks.
Look at this. It's up the egg. It's in that kitchen, isn't it? Hold on, the other one. Yeah, here you go.
When he looks round, his burger, which was actually the junior UFO, has gone. He looks suspiciously at the man sitting next to him.
What? What do you mean, what?
He takes the man's burger, thinking it's his own, and examines it. Faye goes over to a pot of soup bubbling on the stove. She notices a periscope sticking up out of it. She grabs hold of it and pulls out one of the junior UFOs. She glances around, then takes the UFO into the kitchen and tosses it into the sink.
Hey, Frank, guess what I did?
What now?
I named the little guy. Blossom and Jess, wasn't that cute?
Yeah, cute.
Be nice, Papa.
I'm always nice. I got a kitchen to run.
If you're not nice, you're going to drive them away.
Meaning what?
I like being a family again. Just you and me and Blossom and Jetson and Bobby.
Frank irritably tosses down a cheese slice. He gets a grip of himself and looks at Faye. Smiling, she goes. The stretch limo pulls up outside the cafe, joining several other vehicles already gathered there. The executive gets out of the limo and looks around. He glances at his watch. Up on the roof, Carlos follows the trail of fairy lights up to the shed. As he examines the fairy lights, something pulls on them from within the shed. Carlos picks up a saucepan and opens the shed door. The executive steps out.
Oh, Carlos, is this what you're talking about, huh? It's full of junk. It's a storage shed, you idiot.
No, it's not. It's full of ghosts or spirits or something, okay? And they're just trying to make me look bad.
You don't need ghosts for that, Carlos. Your time is running out, my friend.
The executive marches off. In the cafe, Carlos bangs on a table with a knife.
Hey, I'm hungry. How about a little service around here?
Sure.
What's so great about a place you can't even get a menu?
You want a menu, pal? What for? You're gonna get the special of the day.
Man, you shouldn't even be in here. I'm gonna report all of you guys.
Bobby, have you had your lunch? Wait a minute. Excuse me. There. Now, what about you? You want to sleep over? Why don't you call your mommy and tell her where you'll be, hmm?
No thanks, Mrs. Riley. I can't tonight. Bobby, you want to go out and play?
You ain't going nowhere unless you eat something. You look terrible. In here.
Come on, lady. You got to stop this.
Eat for the love of Mike. You're just like your father.
I don't know nothing about my father, and I don't want to know.
Don't say that. He loves you.
Lady, you know, I'm not who you think I am. Of
course you are, my little munchkin.
I'm learning how Lacey works, how this city works. It's my way out of here.
Where are you going?
Anywhere. I'm smart. I'm talented. I get ideas all the time.
Of course you do. Why don't you talk to your father tonight at dinner, hmm? I'll cook a ham.
You're inviting me for dinner?
You love my ham. Oh, my goodness, is that a smile? I think I just saw a smile.
Carlos sees what he thinks is a floating tray.
Oh, not here, honey. Back inside on the counter.
What the hell is that?
It's them, the little guys, my little munchkins.
You stay away from me. You're not fooling anybody. Crazy, my ass.
Carlos backs away, leaving Faye looking hurt. Everyone stares at him. In his apartment, Harry is trying to fix the stillborn UFO. He solders something and it bursts into flames. He wafts the smoke away and examines the lifeless UFO. He tosses it down, then puts a foot up on the table, knocking a board free. It catapults the UFO into the air, and it lands in the sink along with a load of detergent and an electric toaster, which short circuits in the foaming water. Harry pulls the toaster out of the water and watches as the water drains out of the sink. He hears something moving in the pipes. Excited, he follows the noise along the pipes. He opens the loo door and smiles broadly as he sees the UFO haul itself up out of the lavatory pan with a miniature grappling iron. It coughs out a bubble. Clutching bags of groceries, Mason knocks on Marissa's door.
Marissa! Open up!
Hi. Listen, you are going to stop worrying about that baby. Step aside. Look out. Here we go.
He comes in and starts unpacking the groceries.
Whole wheat bread. Lots of milk. We've got whole milk. Half fat. Non-fat. One baby book.
What are you doing? You don't have to take care of me.
I got you these for that special yen.
Pickles.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Ah.
The pickle burned his mouth. Marissa laughs. He glugs down milk, then spots all his paintings in her front room. He goes over to look at them.
You made me an art collector. He's a new guy, very talented.
He points at a self-portrait.
What's this one say to you?
That's my favorite. It's a guy standing in the sun.
Sun? What sun? There's no sun.
Oh, yes, there is. Hmm. See, because all you're seeing now is the shadows. Hmm. See, if he moves two steps in any direction, he'll be in the sunlight. I've been looking at it a lot. You know, because it's art. You just gotta keep looking at it.
He stares at her.
What? What are you staring at?
He raises his eyebrows and they both smile. Carlos is in the executive's office reception.
He's on his way.
Carlos gets to his feet as a middle-aged white guy steps out of an elevator wearing a business suit. He stares at Carlos. The executive appears behind Carlos.
Carlos?
Yo, Mr. Kovacs!
Carlos, what are you doing here?
I just want one more chance. I gotta have this job, you understand? You've been happy up till now, right?
Mr. Lacey, this is, I know who he is.
Mr. Lacey, I gave them the money.
And they sent it right back? Come here.
Carlos goes over to Lacey.
I got a commitment to have this entire block down to grade level.
He shows Carlos an architectural model of the block.
Grade level, comprende?
I can do it, sir. There's no problem, I assure you.
In 3 days, permits expire and legal options go out the window.
I know about options, lot assembly.
Interest rates are going back up. And I'm paying a demolition crew to sit around eating in a restaurant they're supposed to be knocking down.
Tonight. I'll have them out by tonight.
You've had your chance, kid. I've made other arrangements.
The middle-aged man in the suit and the executive follow Mr. Lacey as he stalks off.
Don't you worry, Mr. Lacey. I'm gonna do it for you.
He looks round at the model. In his apartment, Mason is busy painting Marissa's portrait. The first two junior UFOs wander across his paint palette as he works.
What? What's so funny?
You, your face. You look so serious.
Well, this is serious. I'm looking at the real you.
And what do you see?
What do I see? I see a mysterious counterplay of light and dark.
Hey! All right, Greg, give me that back. These are not toys, you guys. Stop. Put that down, you guys. Come on. Stop playing with that. Come
on, put... Oh, my God. That's not fair.
What's not fair about it? I use my imagination, that's all. And my X-ray goggles.
Hey, would you paint some clothes on her?
Hey.
He's painted her naked. She covers up the two gawping UFOs. She looks out of the window and sees her boyfriend and his band arrive. Delighted, she snatches up her keys. She hurries off. Mason looks at the two UFOs as they look out from under the sheet Marissa threw over them. Mason sits on his own across the street, glugging a bottle of wine as he listens to Latin rhythms emanating from Marissa's apartment window. The first UFO pulls the blinds down on the cafe door. Frank and Faye sit reading at a cafe table. Frank has an unlit cigar. He searches for some matches, but the first UFO flies over and lights it for him. The UFO flies off. It comes back with a jar of coffee and pours a cup for Faye.
Whatever happened to General Eisenhower? You don't hardly see a word about him anymore.
Frank shrugs and goes back to studying his newspaper. The first two junior UFOs are standing on the edge of a step high up the staircase. They look down at the second UFO, which hovers some way below them in the stairwell. It waves encouragingly at them, then flies up behind them and pushes one of them off. It plummets down the stairwell, but just before it hits the bottom, starts flying. It lands on a step and looks up, before keeling over backwards. The second junior UFO backs away from the edge of the step. Its parent shoves it over the edge. It deploys some mechanical hands and hangs on to the edge of the step. Its parent produces a circular saw and starts cutting through the step. Frank and Faye hear the saw and go into the hall to see what's happening. In his apartment, Harry blows a dog whistle and indicates the third junior UFO should jump into his pocket. The third junior UFO hears the sound of the circular saw coming through the air vent. The parent UFO finishes cutting through the step and the second junior UFO falls. It tries flapping metal wings, then deploys an umbrella chute which turns inside out. It plummets and is caught in the nick of time by the now flying third junior UFO.
It's the little fella! Alive and kicking.
All the other UFOs congregate around the third junior UFO, apparently delighted by its appearance. Frank and Faye watch. Harry emerges from his basement apartment and steps up behind Faye and Frank.
Harry! You did that?
Harry shrugs.
We bring good things to life.
Armed with an axe, Carlos scuttles across the building site outside. He crouches behind a stationary digger, then runs on. Harry, Faye and Frank delightedly watch the now all-flying UFO family cavorting about in the air. Everyone looks round as a well-oiled Mason wanders in, clutching his wine bottle.
You know what happens when birds learn to fly? They leave the nest! What?
He marches off upstairs. Faye and Frank exchange a look. The UFOs hover uncertainly. Carlos shines a torch in through a basement window. He removes a grill from the window and breaks the glass with the axe. Mason lets himself into Marissa's apartment, which appears to be deserted.
Marissa.
He looks around, then begins collecting up his canvases. He carries them back across the landing and notices the door to his apartment is open. Furious, he marches in.
You semi-literate fascist sociopath!
He finds Marissa.
You were gone so long, I was leaving you a note.
She folds it up. He goes over and snatches it off her.
Dear Mason.
Not out loud.
That's all it says.
Well, I didn't know what to write. What are you doing with my paintings?
Oh, your paintings, just because you go up. Where's Hector and the All-Stars, huh?
On their way to Chicago.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
Look, he got a good job. It's good pay. It's a break, really.
Yeah, but what about you?
I told him to go.
She looks out of the window. Mason looks around pensively.
Well, you need somebody to draw, right?
A smile creeps across Mason's face. He goes over to Marissa and turns her around to face him. He plants a kiss on her lips. She stares at him, then pulls him to her and they kiss again. In the basement, Carlos uses the axe to break a valve on a water pipe. Water comes gushing out of the pipe into the basement. Carlos looks around, then breaks another pipe up on the ceiling. Water cascades from it. He walks over to the circuit board and swings the axe into it. In the cafe, Frank is washing up. The lights flicker and the water goes off. In the basement, Carlos keeps smashing up the circuit board. He looks around and goes over to the stairs. Hearing somebody coming, he skulks off. The two adult UFOs float down the stairs into the basement. They fly through the basement, inspecting the damage. Clutching torches, Mason and Frank hurry down into the basement.
Can you believe this? I got it. This must be Carlos!
No, don't kid yourself. This isn't Carlos. This is Lacey.
Faye comes down the stairs with Harry, who carries the three junior UFOs. Carlos is hiding in the shadows. The first UFO floats around a corner and sees him. Carlos swings the axe at it, knocking it back across the room. It crashes onto a shelf with a big gash in its casing. Frank and Mason watch as it tries to pick itself up. A plank falls on it. The second UFO flies over and sees what's happened. The first UFO falls off the shelf onto the floor and its lights go out. The second UFO flies over to it. Still clutching the axe, Carlos steps out of the spraying water, and Mason turns around and spots him.
Carlos! You murdering son of a bitch! Get out of my way!
Not this time, pal!
Frank and Mason snatch up tools.
My guys are coming any minute.
Yeah, sure they are!
The three tussle, and Carlos slips past Mason and Frank. He runs up the stairs and pushes past Harry. The three junior UFOs fly into the air as Harry tumbles down the stairs. Carlos runs up onto the ground floor and gets to the front door. It's locked, so he swings the axe at it. Mason steps up behind him and grabs the axe.
What's this? Everybody together? What? You're ganging up on me?
Standing behind Mason, Faye, Marissa and Frank, Harry is pulling on a pair of boxing gloves. He advances towards Carlos.
Come on!
Carlos puts his fists up as Harry towers over him.
You should
favorite tires, champ.
Carlos swings at Harry, who at first blocks and dodges his attacks, then just lets him punch uselessly away. Carlos realizes he's not up to the job and fearfully regards Harry, who grabs him and punches him repeatedly in the gut.
I'll take door number one.
Harry opens the front door and hurls Carlos down the steps.
Bobby!
God damn it, he's not Bobby! He's just a punk!
Let me go! Oh,
Faye!
He's hurt!
Faye!
What's the matter with you?
Bobby is dead! He is dead! Yeah!
No! You wish he was dead.
Faye.
All you ever do is yell at him and make him feel he's not good enough. Well, look who's talking. What do you think he's buying that car for to get away from you? We're going to lose him and it's all your fault. You hate him.
Faye runs away upstairs, leaving Frank staring miserably after her. Harry goes into his apartment and starts searching in a drawer by the light of a hurricane lamp. He moves on and checks on a table and a chair. Harry finds his dog whistle. Going through the building, he finds three small UFO-shaped holes in a window. He goes outside and blows his whistle. Up in the shed on the roof, the second UFO is busy trying to fix the first UFO. It uses what looks like a miniature arc welder. Harry, Frank, Mason and Marissa walk along a city street, now with a dog in tow.
What about Times Square or the electricity? Or the subway?
Harry stops them. They go over to some workmen by an open manhole.
I need more lines.
The workmen are playing a cable out down the manhole. Frank looks disappointed.
Now what?
Now we go off. It's over.
Harry, what are you doing? Harry, what the hell are you doing?
Harry!
Harry stole a loud hailer from the back of the workman's van and ran off with it. The dog goes with him. An exceptionally ugly station wagon with wood effect panels pulls up outside Riley's cafe. The middle-aged man wearing a suit from Lacey's office gets out and walks round to the back of the vehicle. He opens the tailgate and takes out a jerry can of petrol and a briefcase. He carries them across the street to the cafe. Harry runs along a street in town. He crosses a road with the dog still following him. He stops outside a building and looks up at it before going inside, leaving the dog on the doorstep. In the cafe, the middle-aged man pours out some white powder. He takes a milk carton from his bag, then pours a clear liquid from a bottle into it. The liquid gives off a white vapour. He puts the carton down on top of the white powder. He checks his watch, then grabs up his torch and bag and goes. As Mason, Marissa and Frank walk along a street, they find the dog outside the building Harry went into. A hoarding above it advertises a product called Sheer Energy.
In the name of God.
Harry appears on a platform just below the hoarding and starts blowing his dog whistle through the loud hailer. A cab drives over a pothole and loses one of its hubcaps. The hubcap rolls along the road and comes to rest by the curb. A street-sweeping vehicle motors slowly towards it. The three junior UFOs see the hubcap and fly over to it, alighting upon it. Harry keeps blowing the dog whistle through the loud hailer. the street sweeper bears down on the hubcap and the three junior UFOs. The smallest UFO hears the whistle and takes off. The other two fly after it just before the street sweeper sweeps up the hubcap. The three junior UFOs fly across town until they find Harry standing beneath the hoarding on the building. Harry spots them and stops blowing the whistle. He holds his jacket pocket open and the smallest UFO flies over and drops into it. Faye is on the rooftop outside the shed. She paces anxiously. Inside the shed, the second UFO is busy repairing the first. Faye watches as the second UFO nudges the first, and it restarts itself. Both UFOs lift into the air.
Okay, go now. Go find your baby.
The UFOs shoot up into the sky above the apartment block and look around before flying off. In town, Mason, Marissa and Frank run up some stairs until they get to the platform under the hoarding. They find Harry there waiting for them. He takes the smallest UFO out of his pocket.
You are a genius, Harry, 100%.
Don't leave home without it.
He shows them his dog whistle. The lights start to flicker. Harry turns around, revealing the other two junior UFOs standing on the contact points of an electrical riser unit. Current crackles between them. The two adult UFOs fly towards the hoarding and find everyone. Frank's face lights up when he sees them.
He's back together!
The two junior UFOs fly off the riser unit and join their parents. The second UFO flies over to the smallest junior UFO, which Harry is still holding. The adult UFOs buzz around like angry wasps.
Mason, do something! Talk to them!
What am I supposed to say? It was an accident?
We didn't do anything. It was Carla.
All the UFOs except the one Harry is holding start to fly away.
Wait! Give us another chance!
The first UFO swoops angrily at Frank. Harry starts to walk away with the smallest UFO.
Harry! Let him go, Harry.
Reluctantly and with tears in his eyes, Harry holds up the smallest UFO, but he can't bring himself to release it.
Let him go!
Harry finally releases the UFO and it hovers for a moment before flying over to join the rest of its family. The UFO family fly up high into the sky. At the Riley's Cafe building, Carlos finds the middle-aged man stapling balloons to the ceiling.
What the hell are you doing? What, are you having a party or what?
No party, kid. There's no one home.
That's 'cause of me. They're not gonna stay if there's no water and electricity.
What are you doing here?
This is my building. I did the job. I cleared it.
Carlos grabs the man.
I'm gonna burn it. Hey, what are you schmuck, that's evidence!
Carlos elbows the man in the mouth and breaks a pipe.
It's gonna look normal! Regular!
Who cares? We're burning the place, right? Let's burn it!
Carlos breaks another gas pipe. The man grabs his bag and runs out of the building to his car. He loads his bag into the boot.
Sloppy. Don't you want to see? When you do good work like this, don't you even like to watch it?
What do you want, man? We should be halfway across town by now.
Nah. Bobby, you let him go and get up here this instant.
They stare up at Faye, who's framed in a window.
You said the place was empty!
Faye's door.
Lady, come on!
All right, stuff is nearly ready. Oh, go wash your hands and face and go sit down at the table. See? I knew you'd be coming. I got the ham on.
Ham? No, We gotta get out of here right now.
Don't start that with me.
Shut up!
Oh, Bobby! You're hurting me!
She slaps Carlos and gives him an admonishing look. He releases her, and she goes over to a cabinet and takes out two glasses. Carlos reconsiders his approach.
Gee whiz, Mom. I'm sorry. I just wanted to show you something.
Show me what?
My car. Yeah, gosh, don't you remember the new car?
Your car? No.
Let's go. Don't want to miss the big game. Dad's waiting downstairs, and you know how he is.
Your father?
Yeah, good old Dad. What a guy.
You're not Bobby. You're not Bobby. You're not him. Give me a...
Please.
She locks herself in the bedroom.
Oh, God, Lenny, don't wake up now. Open the door. Don't you hear me? Open the door.
Faye looks at an old newspaper cutting.
You're gonna die! Come on!
The cutting is about Bobby dying in a car crash. Carlos runs through the building and goes up the stairs. He sees the milk carton of steaming liquid just as it bursts into flames. He's thrown to the floor by the blast. Balloons full of petrol that the middle-aged man hung up catch fire. They in turn ignite the gas from the pipes that Carlos broke. An explosion rips through the building. Carlos picks himself up and hurries back downstairs. He makes his way over to Faye's apartment and tries to get in, but the security chain has been put on. He forces it open and goes inside. He goes in the direction of the scream. Mason, Marissa, Harry, Frank and the dog walk back from town. Fire department vehicles race by. Carlos finds Faye in the bathroom.
Don't you touch me! Don't you touch me! Help! Fred! Fred!
Carlos grabs her. Another fire truck races past Mason and the others. Mason looks alarmed and runs after it.
Mason!
Police and fire brigade are at the scene. A cop intercepts Mason. The Riley's Cafe building is completely consumed by fire. Carlos climbs down a fire escape ladder with Faye over his shoulder. Police officers move crowds of onlookers back from the building. As Carlos gets to the bottom of the ladder, he's met by some firemen. They take Faye from him and put her on a gurney. Frank hurries over to Mason.
Hey! Mason, where is she?
I don't know.
For the love of God! Hey!
Frank spots the fireman wheeling her along on the gurney.
Hey! You all right? She all right? She all right?
Hey, get back on the sidewalk.
I've gone along. I'm her husband.
The firemen load her into an ambulance. Frank gets in too and it drives off. Mason, Harry and Marissa watch it go.
Hey! Carlos!
Carlos makes to run for it and bumps into some firemen. Mason makes to go after him, but Marissa holds him back. The building starts to collapse. Chunks of burning masonry crash to the ground, along with the Riley's Cafe sign. As more pieces of the building fall away, Mason, Marissa and the firemen back up. The building disintegrates in a fireball. The next morning, the fire is out. Water drips on the ruins. Harry sits on the steps of the building with the dog. A digger approaches the building and halts. Kovacs, the executive, talks to the construction crew.
What the hell are you stopping for?
That.
Harry.
Well, I don't see anything. It's just junk. Come on, get moving. We haven't got all day.
What's your hurry, Kovacs? The building's down. You won. Hip, hip, hooray. Now leave the guy alone. How long can he stay
there? I want him out of my way.
The workman grabs him.
When he moves, we move. Not till then.
He releases Kovacs. Harry remains motionless, staring into the distance. Night falls. It stopped raining, but Harry and the dog are still sitting on the steps of the ruined building. The dog gets up and trots down the steps. Harry gets up and follows it. He looks up into the sky. The smallest UFO flies by. Harry checks his jacket pocket, but it's empty. He looks around and sees the smallest UFO on the floor of the building, busy putting one of the floor tiles back in place. Harry bends down and watches as the UFO stamps on the tile with one of its mechanical feet to secure it back into position. The UFO picks up a second tile and looks up as a light is shone on it. Harry looks up too and sees the rest of the UFO family hovering overhead. Harry quickly scoops up the smallest UFO and watches as hundreds more UFOs fill the sky above him. Hospital, Frank folds up Faye's nightdress as a nurse talks to her.
Now, here we are, dear. Just give me your arm and slip it through here.
No.
Be a good girl now and put this on.
Are we going home now?
A different kind of home, but very nice. Across the river in Jersey. Oh. You know who's there? Muriel and Sid. You remember?
I want to go home.
We'll be together. That's all that counts.
Excuse me, Mr. Riley?
Carlos with flowers.
I brought these here for your wife. Some donuts.
His hands are bandaged. Frank marches over to him and puts his arm around Carlos.
Faye, look who's here.
Faye looks at Carlos.
It's Bobby. He came back. How about that?
Faye bursts into tears. Frank goes over and hugs her to him. Carlos throws the flowers in the bin and goes. A policeman arrives at the hospital and goes over to a sofa where Mason and Marissa have fallen asleep.
Mason Baylor? Marissa Escobar? Would you come with me, please?
Mr. and Mrs. Riley?
The police drive the residents back to the Riley's Cafe building. Crowds have gathered, and the cops have to clear them to allow the patrol cars through. Faye and Frank get out of one of the cop cars and see the building has been restored to as new condition. Harry appears on the roof of the building and waves to Mason and Marissa.
Hey, it's Harry!
They're back, babe. They're back!
The construction worker turns to Kovacs.
Want it, Chief? How you like it?
Kovacs' expression suggests not much. Carlos walks through the crowd and stares in wonder at the restored building. Mr. Lacey steps out of the building with a gaggle of reporters.
Mr. Lacey, this building was reported burned last night. Can you give us an explanation?
Obviously, somebody made a mistake.
Mr. Lacey, what are your plans for this site in view of what's happened?
My plans remain unchanged.
Kovacs.
You know what? I think it's a fake. It's a prefab. It's fiberglass. These people are jerking us around.
Mr. Lacey, just one more thing.
Look, you want me to get rid of these reporters? I'll get rid of them for you, no problem.
You're fired, kid.
Mr. Lacey gets in his stretch limo. His chauffeur smiles humorlessly at Kovacs. The residents go back into their building. Even all the floor tiles have been replaced to as new condition. The design incorporates the building's number, 817. Faye stops in the doorway and smiles. She looks up into the sky and sees the UFO family flying upwards towards the clouds. They vanish from view. Sometime later, the massive tower blocks of Lacey's development stand tall on the New York skyline. Nestling between them is the Riley's Cafe building. ITFC audio description by John Walskill.